Okay, as you all are getting to your seats, in your little pamphlet that you got today, there is a green sheet. I think it's so you'll see it and pay attention. So what I want to kind of go over briefly is on this green sheet. It's different ways that you can get involved in Summit Woods Women's Ministries. And many of you are involved, and some of you may not be, and some of you may not know much about it. So we're going to just follow along with that, and we'll briefly go through that. Probably the biggest thing coming up is going to be February 15th to 17th at the Heartland Conference Center in Parkville, Missouri. That's the same place that we've been the last number of years. But if you've never been there, really want to encourage you to go. It's just a blessing. You really get to know more people, and you have the opportunity to visit and learn. So it's just put it on your calendars. You can go ahead and register online. So do that. Okay. Another thing that we can get involved in is Titus 2. Those are small groups that meet at different times, maybe weekly, maybe monthly. But they basically go over a biblical resource, and then you get to pray with each other. So it's a wonderful way to get to know a small group. Because if you're really not involved in any small groups, it's just really hard to get to know people and just know where our hearts are and our anxieties. I've just so enjoyed the testimonies this morning about the anxiety, because we all have it, and we're just called to share that with others. So Titus 2 groups are a wonderful place to do that. The next one is the Summit Woods Meal Ministry. This is where you volunteer for 1 month out of the year, or if you're really an overachiever, you can do it for more than 1 month. But basically, you're going to be on call for meal needs. So someone will call you that month that you signed up if there's a need for providing meals for anyone. And Rachel Stouffer is in charge of that, so call her if you're interested. But that's a wonderful way to bless people that are having struggles, you know, and just to help them with that, not only physically with eating, which we all need to do, but just the support that provides too. The next one is, if you're interested in helping the Summit Woods Fellowship throughout the year, there's an opportunity to do that. And let Rachel Stouffer know if you're interested in doing that. Many, many helpers make light work. So just encourage you to get involved with that too. Summit Woods Women also can have special prayer time together. If there's certain things that we want to come together and pray about, let Amy Caton or Kelly Kaprenica know if you're interested in gathering for prayer. So that would be, you know, just sitting here, something I'm thinking about that's on my heart is Israel. Maybe having special prayers for Israel. But anyway, so the next one is serving a light meal for a collegiate impact in Kansas City. It's a local college ministry that I really didn't know much about myself, but they provide on Thursday evenings a dinner at 9 o'clock, and this is just a way that we can provide a meal for them and serve the students and engage them. And if you're interested in that, talk to Campbell Border. He's involved. He's taking care of that. The last one that's on the sheet is the Wednesday evening meal. This is on Wednesday evenings from 5 to 6. And if you can be there before 5 to help with meal prep, that would be wonderful. Tommy Ann Price is the one to contact for that. But that just provides a way for fellowship over meals. It's a wonderful way to get more people, to know more people too. So anyway, get involved. So, okay, finished with that. Now I'm going to introduce the testimonies about fighting the sin of anxiety and fear, which is what we've been talking about. And the three people that are going to be sharing with you now is, first of all, is Carolyn Jackson and Taylor Beauvais and Amy Caton. So I look forward to these. And so we'll get started with that.
Hi. As Lois said, my name is Carolyn Jackson. My husband, Brian, and I have been married for 43 years. It just seems impossible. How can I be that old? We have three wonderful adult children and two wonderful in-law children, a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law, and two absolutely adorable grandsons. And you see one of them running around here with his curly brown hair and big smile. Brian and I have been members here at Summit Woods since the summer of 2012. We so praise God for leading us to a church family that we love dearly and that loves us back. That's so nice. Now that we are acquainted, back to our topic. Because of our sinful nature, fighting the sins of fear and anxiety or struggles, most all of us battle at one time or another, or maybe lots of times. In thinking back of a particular example from this past year, when I've especially struggled with these sins, I think I need to give you a little background first. As many of you know, and some of you may not, my husband was diagnosed in July of 2014 with renal cell carcinoma stage 2. In layman's terms, that's kidney cancer with a tumor about the size of a golf ball inside his kidney. The doctors thought the cancer was contained in the kidneys, so the kidney was surgically removed several weeks later, and we all thought all would be well. However, some weeks after that, on a follow-up chest x-ray, the radiologist noticed a spot in one of his lungs. The doctors were quite convinced it was a benign area of inflammation, but decided his lungs should be scanned every 3 months or so after that. So for 3 years, that spot never changed until it did. Then it had doubled in size, and there were several new lesions in the lungs that hadn't been there before. A biopsy determined that he now had metastatic renal cell carcinoma to the lung stage 4, and there was then, and still is now, no known cure. We had just entered a whole new ballgame. When Brian was first diagnosed in 2014, the doctor had said that if his cancer had spread, there was one treatment available, and if that didn't work, he would die. And that's just kind of how he said it. I mean, what? Die. 3 years later, we found out there were several new treatments available, which during that three-year period had been approved by the FDA and were in use. We saw that and see that now as the sovereignty of God. Fast forward to this year. Several months ago, Brian was told by his oncologist that the CT scan showed the medicine that he was on at that time had stopped working. The tumors had grown. It was time to change medicines again. This would be his fourth change. Hearing this news was like a baseball bat swung straight into my belly. My eyes filled with tears. Another medicine down. Scratched that one off the list. Didn't know how many more there were. Still don't, and I don't really want to know. Questions ran through my head. Will this one be effective? How long will it last? What will be the side effects for Brian? Will it make him terribly sick? Will he lose his hair? Will he lose weight? The doctor did say in the meeting that it could give him sores on the palms of his hand and on the soles of his feet. That had happened with the previous drug, and it was awful. The doc also said it could cause nasty GI symptoms and heavy fatigue. Then once at home, as the good nurse that I am, and I am a nurse, I don't know how good I am, but I'm a nurse, I read the paperwork on the drug so that I could be aware of the potential side effects that the doctor hadn't mentioned and the adverse reactions. And it was like reading a horror story. What in the world was this going to be like for him? I was worried. I was fretting, anxious, and fearful. Yet Brian didn't seem to be doing the same. He just seemed to accept whatever was ahead. In talking with him later about this, he told me why. It's because he clung to Paul's words in Philippians 4:11-13 at that time, and he still does now. We were just talking about this yesterday. These are his verses. Let me read them for you. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Elizabeth Elliot, one of my older spiritual mentors who is now with the Lord, and I so look forward to meeting her when I'm in heaven, once said, when terrible things happen, there are two choices, and only two. We can trust God or we can defy him. We can believe that God is God, he's still got the whole world in his hands and knows exactly what he's doing, or we must believe that he is not God and we are at the awful mercy of chance. And then there's this account in Matthew 8:23-27. When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm at the sea so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? In their fear, the disciples chose to watch Jesus in action. Apparently, they didn't cower down and cover their heads. They went right to him and asked for help. They believed enough at that time that he could and that he would do something. Then they witnessed and they heard him speaking the words that calmed the crazy wind and the rough seas. And right before their eyes, all changed and their surroundings were calm and serene. Brian chose a long time ago to trust in God's sovereignty and his plan. In fact, I've never heard him ask, why me, God? He never has. I realize now that he had learned what the disciples learned in the boat with Jesus that frightening night. The words of Jesus can be totally, completely trusted when the winds assail. Oh, me of little faith. The disciples got it. Brian got it. I need it too. Yes, as Elizabeth Elliot so rightly said, I have a choice. Either I can sin by fighting anxiety and fear, letting worry and fret and stress take over my thoughts, or I can come before my Heavenly Father, the one who the Bible says cares for me, and choose to trust him and his sovereignty, knowing if he so chooses, he can calm the crazy winds and the rough seas going on in our lives. He's really got this, all of it. And he will work for his glory and our good. I know I must repent of my fears and anxieties, then ask forgiveness for my lack of trust. And in his sweet mercy, he will forgive me again and again when I fail. He is so, so kind. Why in the world would I choose not to trust him? Then after making that choice, I can choose to practice Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That's a promise. The God of peace will be with you. I would much rather trust in the God of peace, the God of the universe, the one who makes the leaves change on the trees every autumn, as he's doing right now, and the one who allows them to fall off, but after a cold winter causes the trees to bud out brand new, fresh leaves all over again, year after year, century after century, signifying his master design, his plan, his care, not just for nature, but on such a more loving scale, his care for us. I choose to believe in him, his sovereignty, and his all encompassing. Is that right?
Encompassing.
Thank you. I don't know why I've had trouble with that word. His all-encompassing power, rather than believing that all of life and all the happenings in our world are left up to mere chance. Our God is the only one who gives hope. He is our only hope, the hope of glory. He's the one who has and will continue to care for my husband. And because Brian belongs to Jesus, when God calls him home, he will be taken into eternity with his Savior. As the song says, it is such a blessed assurance. God deeply cares for all of us when things are easy or when they're hard. He calls us to lay our burdens, anxieties, and our fears at his feet and to say, just as Jesus did in the garden, with humility, respect, and submission to the Father, not my will. Thine be done. We can choose to trust him completely. May he help us all to do just that every single day. Thank you.
Hi, can everybody hear me? Okay. My name is Taylor Beauvais. I know many of you. You probably know me through my mother-in-law, Julia. I have a husband, obviously, because I'm married, Rhett, and I have two kids, Gracelyn, she is 6, and I have a 4-year-old, Jackson. When I was approached to do this, I'm going to tell you I didn't want to do it. I don't enjoy getting in front of a lot of people, but if you were 5 years old, I would be great. I'm an elementary school teacher. This is fun. This is not fun. So when we were talking about this, I was talking about this with Kelly about all of it. The two things that kind of stuck out in my life that more recently that I'm combating fear and anxiety, the two kind of sections that I break it down to is motherhood and my Bible study with my family. So I'll go into my Bible study with my family first and kind of give you a little background. I grew up in a Christian home, and I'll kind of explain that later. I went to a Christian school from kindergarten to graduating senior. I would say that my family was saved at the time, but as I've grown in my faith and come to my own salvation, I would say that it was just kind of a lifestyle or moralized Christian faith with them. My family would claim to be believers, but their actions, their lifestyles, and many times their words are very contradictory to that. My first time going through Taking Time to Quiet Your Soul was with a Titus 2 group, and wow, was I hooked. I am now completing my 4th time through. I'm on my last lesson with my family. It completely uprooted my thoughts and my ways of thinking. It allowed me to work through a lot of bitterness and anger that I had carried for so long. So that first time, I'm sitting there thinking, as I'm talking with both my mom and my grandma and my sister, we were preparing, in this season of life, we were preparing. My sister was getting married. She got married last, not this summer, but the last summer. So we had a lot of time together kind of planning a wedding and stuff. And throughout all of this time, I'm sitting there thinking they really need this just by conversations that we were having. So that was going to be completely out of my comfort zone. The reason being is my grandma tends to be pretty brash and hard-headed. I think I get a lot of my stubbornness from her. My cousin, who was actually the final nudging of doing this study, she was kind of going through secular therapy at the time. She was kind of adopting like a Christianized worldview of how to approach things and situations. My mom and sister, like I had said, are professing believers, but I had never seen them open a Bible. They didn't care to engage in biblical conversations and kind of just put up walls when those kinds of things came apart. So throughout this time, I was having this nagging feeling in my gut, you know, those ones that God gives you, and you're like, I'll pray about that and kind of come back to that later. So I kept getting that nudging feeling. And so the final straw, because I think some of us always have that, I was at my sister's bridal shower. I was having a very in-depth conversation with my cousin, who was attending therapy. And everything that she was saying was something that was completely opposite of how to handle it biblically, which we've learned, or you are learning about and taking time to quiet your soul. So I knew that with her, every effort that she was making was going to leave her null and void. It was just going to make her empty in the end. So even though she was trying to work through it, it wasn't going to go through the way she was thinking it was going to. It wasn't going to solve her problems. So that night, after prayer and talking with my husband, I sent them a group text message. It had my mom, my sister, my cousin, and my grandma in it. And I said, would you be interested in pursuing this study? It's something that's completely changed my walk with the Lord, and I think it would be really beneficial to walk through it together. Well, they said yes. I was kind of hoping they'd say no, but they said yes. So the fears and anxieties and the practical ways that I dealt with that, because like I said, it wasn't a very comfortable situation to put myself in, but God had put me in it, and so you kind of have to follow through with that. So as I'm thinking through the practical steps that I went through, I knew that I needed to know my stuff. So I needed to make sure that I was in the Word daily. I needed to make sure that when we were doing the lessons that I had scriptures to back it up. My third time going through, I went through with my husband and Mark and Janet Kristiniak. And Mark, if you've ever chatted with him, he has a scripture for everything. And that was something that was very inspiring and something that I wanted to take away, so that when questions that they had came up, that I was able to rattle off scripture as well. I'm still working on that, but it's still been fruitful. Circumstances that arose that raised my anxiety and fear were just their status of where their faith is, if I could call it faith. It was very basic biblical questions that they had no idea how to answer. Their fundamentals of their faith were not there, and that's almost disheartening to someone that I thought might. I would have said at the beginning of the study that my grandma was a believer. She's read her Bible through and through, but just her application of it and stuff, it was something that like I struggled with going through, because I'm 31 and she's, I'm not gonna say, but I felt like she would have been a little further along. Another one was I had combativeness with not the cousin that I started this with, but another cousin who decided to zoom in from Alaska. She was being confronted with a lot of sin that she had within her life within the first two lessons. And she fought me tooth and nail on everything that was said. And it was very difficult because I'm a people pleaser and I don't want to ruffle feathers. And I told you before, I didn't even want to do this to begin with. But she had fought me over and over again, and I was struggling with that a lot. She also wasn't completing the lessons, and there was lack of application, so that put it in a whole nother ball game for me. So in order to combat these anxieties, these fears that I was struggling with in this time, I prayed a lot. And when I prayed, I wasn't just praying for myself, but I made sure that I prayed individually for them. What they were going through, their struggles, the things that I was seeing that were coming up in their lessons. And usually, I've heard this before, I'm pretty sure it's been preached to my husband about my dad. But if you pray for them, it's a lot harder for you to be against them, and it's a lot harder for you to stay mad at them. I prayed for our time together to be fruitful and God-centered. I prayed that it would be God's words and not my own, and that was something I prayed like 30 minutes beforehand, just a time of prayer. My husband sweetly allowed me that, but just praying that it was all God and not me at all. And also as I'm driving over to my mom's house to do it, I was praying that as well. I prayed for a calm spirit and a level-headedness with difficult topics and combative attitudes. Like I had said, I had that 30 minutes of solid prayer where I was on my knees praying that it was his will and not my will. I also, in your Taking Time to Quiet Your Soul, I'm pretty sure it's page 4. Jim Berg gives us a list of stabilizing truths. And that was something that I found myself going over and over and over again. And one way that I've taught Awana scripture with my kids is buying like a note card spiral. And we kind of go through it in the car or when we're, I think we were at a volleyball game the other day and I was going over it with my daughters, but I did the same and I applied it to myself. And so I have a flip cards of stabilizing scriptures and just scriptures that I wanted to memorize. So I knew that hiding the Lord's word in my heart, especially in situations that were difficult, was going to kind of bring me peace and understanding and the words that I needed. I also set aside huge chunks of time, graciously granted by my husband, where I over-prepared. And like I told you, I made sure that I had every response to every question that would come, which sounds really crazy, but it was all the Lord in doing that. But it kept me at peace going into the situation. I was prepared. I was over-prepared. Now, if I'm applying the same to motherhood, I don't think you can over-prepare for motherhood. I think that it is, you're playing by the seat of your pants every single time. It's changing ever so with the seasons that we go through. So if you are an over-preparer and you're a mother, I need to talk to you. Maybe you have some advice for me. But the two things that I apply in motherhood is prayer. Duh, right? So what I do and how I do that with my kids is I pray with them. I want them to see what it looks like to be in fellowship with the Lord and how I model that daily with them. Another advice that I had given to me early on was my son is very stubborn. I think he gets that from me more than anything. And one of the advices that I was given was to pray for him in that, and that God would use that specific character trait, so his stubbornness, for his will. So I am constantly praying to God that he would use Jackson's stubbornness, that he would use that in a godly manner. So he'd be stubborn in the Lord. He'd be steadfast. So when things kind of come across, that he would stay firm in his faith. I memorize scripture. Is another way that I do that. And actually, my father-in-law is kind of where I got this idea from. If you'll talk to my husband, he'll say one of his impacting moments with his father was Bob would have these verse cards. Were they even business cards? They were almost smaller.
They're navigator
cards. So, I mean, they're super, super small. But he remembers his dad literally on his way driving to work, just flipping through scripture memory. And Bob, well, and Julia, but they know scripture like the back of their hand. And so that was something that I had seen was beneficial, and it's something that I can come back to over and over again. In chapter 23, in one of Jim Berg's sermons, he says, "There is no new sin in this world that is not addressed in Scripture." So if we're hiding Scripture within our heart, we're able to approach every circumstance and every fear and every anxious thought and every situation that comes our way. So those are just the practical ways that I combat that. And then another one is I'm very mindful, at least for myself. Others, this may not be the case, but what I'm filling my mind with on a daily basis. Am I filling my mind with music that isn't God-honoring or, not that all music's bad, but I find myself like spinning. So I will listen to more hymns and more gospel-centered music. The shows that I watch, Rhett and I had to evaluate that like the first couple of years of marriage because it just wasn't providing a healthy reaction to certain things. And then social media, I have had to take some of that off my phone because I was tracking the way I was thinking through it. And so when you're tracking your thoughts and not your feelings, I was realizing that it was making me think that a lot of things that I shouldn't have been. And so every once in a while I'll check it, but I'm not on there all the time. And that's helped tremendously. But those are just the practical ways that I've had to reshape and reconsider and reorient the way I live, I guess. So, thank you.
Hello, I get to go last. I'm Amy Caton, and my husband and Bobby and I have been here for over 10 years, and it's been such a blessing to be at Summit Woods. We have two sons who are at Cedarville University, and I think, I was thinking through, I find it ironic and funny that we're here talking about battling fear and anxiety, and probably every one of the women that have been up here speaking have had to battle the fear and anxiety of coming up and speaking, so that was practical to think through this. When Kelly asked me to speak on particulars concerning how I have been battling to fight my sin of fear and anxiety within the past year, many situations and circumstances came to mind. Which specific circumstance or situation would I choose? There are numerous areas within my life, as I'm sure there are in yours, that I must, by God's grace, diligently battle the temptation to give into fear and anxiety. I could choose to talk about the fear and anxiety that can well up when I think about my brother battling cancer and contemplating how I can practically love, support, encourage, and help him, his family, and my parents when we are all spread out geographically. How can I do more for them? What does the future look like for our family? I could choose to talk about the temptation to fear and be anxious regarding parenting young adults and parenting in general. There is the fear of not having done enough, battles with regret, knowing that my boys have gone through and will continue to go through difficult circumstances while at college, and wishing Cedarville University was a little closer so I could physically help or just give them a big hug. Thoughts of what if they don't get the grade they need? What if they don't graduate on time? When what if they don't graduate at all? Where will the Lord take them after college? What if God doesn't bless them with a wife? What if God does bless them with a wife? And how will that affect our family dynamics? Will our relationships remain close? Will my boys be surrounded by godly mentors and friends? Will they be diligent to seek out discipleship? Have I prepared them well? These are just a few of the thoughts that can run through my mind on any given day, and I could be tempted to dwell on them and give into fear and anxiety rather than trusting in the Lord and his perfect plan. Even though the previously mentioned circumstances and situations are weightier, I have chosen to talk about how I practically battled fear and anxiety when I began a seasonal job at a local photo lab last fall. A seasonal part-time job seems trivial in the whole scheme of things. However, since I had to wake up each day and face the situation head on, God used this season to sanctify me and teach me in a greater way how to practically battle my fear and anxiety in all areas of my life, and I am grateful for the experience. Now, mind you, I'd been a stay-at-home mom for the past 19 years. I had recently worked a few years part-time at Summit Christian Academy, but the environment there was God-focused and God-honoring. I was surrounded by like-minded individuals. This new job at the photo lab was a completely different environment. I also quickly realized the type of job I thought I had agreed to was very different in reality. There was so much to learn, so many details to remember, and everything had to be done with complete accuracy and crazy speed. It was intense. In fact, the two other individuals that I began the training week with, they quit after their first few days and they left me completely alone with the trainer. After the first few hours of training, I felt overwhelmed, afraid, intimidated, inadequate, fearful, and anxious. In fact, I wanted to quit, but I knew that wasn't what the Lord would have me do. God used this intense time to remind me and train me to keep my gaze upon Him. I knew I had to diligently think on biblical truth and keep my focus upon the Lord if I would emotionally survive the seasonal job and glorify Him through the process. These are the practical ways I battled my anxiety and fear and continue to do so amid current difficult circumstances. Number one, prayer. I would spend much time in prayer each morning before work and while I was driving to work. I would pray, remembering who God is, His character, His attributes. I would pray over each detail of my job and over each person I interacted with each day. There was a specific situation where my manager was irritated with me over something I had no control over. I'm pretty sure it was a very insignificant part of his day, but I felt sad, embarrassed, angry, misunderstood, unappreciated, fearful, and anxious. The situation gave me an opportunity to put into practice the things the Lord had been teaching me. Why was I feeling this way? What was I thinking? After examining my heart, I realized I had thoughts of pride and fear of man rather than humility and the fear of God. This caused me to confess my sin, repent of my sin, and turn to Christ by choosing to pray for my manager, forgive my manager, not think so highly of myself, and choose to rejoice even through misunderstanding, remembering that Christ was misunderstood and was without sin. Number two, meditation. I would meditate on the sovereignty of God and the fact that every good experience in my day and every negative or unfavorable experience in my day was sovereignly, wisely, and lovingly placed there by my Father. I meditated upon the truth that my purpose is to glorify the Lord in all circumstances. I was reminded that I can glorify Him in my successes, and I can glorify Him in my failures, and that my Christ-like reaction to each was a living testimony to those around me of God's goodness. I would meditate upon and rehearse specific scriptures while getting ready for the day and while driving to work. For the sake of time, I won't read these scriptures now, but I will list them for you, these specific scriptures that helped me, so you can look them up later if you like. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, James 1, 2 through 4, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. The third thing I did was remembering the past. When I was tempted to fear, I would rehearse God's specific faithfulness to me throughout my life, remembering how I was anxious and fearful then, and how the Lord so graciously used those times to grow me. Not only did I survive, but by God's grace, I thrived by growing deeper in my faith, trust, and understanding of him. This situation would be no different. 4, listening to truth. Whenever possible, I would listen to sermons, podcasts, and books that dealt biblically with my specific area of anxiety and fear. In this situation, I believe most of my anxiety and fear stemmed from my fear of man. Fear of failure, fear of not measuring up, fear of not having the courage to share the gospel, etc. After my training was complete, I was allowed to have one earbud in my ear during my shift, which was a grace of God. During this time, I listened to numerous books. These are some of the books I listened to. Pleasing People by Lou Priolo. And in that, I realized I had even a deeper issue of fearing man than I thought I did. That's a good book. The Holiness of God by R.C. Sproul. The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. And Bible Doctrine by Wayne Grudem. I also listened to Elizabeth Elliott's podcast, Grace to You with John MacArthur. Renewing Your Mind with R.C. Sproul, Pastor Brett's sermons, and DSM's sermons. I would also listen to praise and worship music, so by saturating my mind throughout the day, I was better able to take my thoughts captive into obedience. 5 was scripture memorization. I wasn't as consistent with scripture memorization during this seasonal job, but at the beginning of this year, Caitlin Sundin and I decided we would try to keep up with Brett as he preached through Titus. I failed miserably with keeping up. Those longer passages, I'm like, oh no. But I did, however, by God's grace, make scripture memory a bigger discipline in my life. It has been so valuable to me. When I wake in the night with an anxious thought, typically over one of my boys, I pray and then start at the beginning of Titus, or another book of the Bible I am attempting, and run through it in my mind. Even if I am not thinking on scripture that deals with my particular situation, I am allowing my mind to be filled with truth, and I am reminded of who God is, and my noisy soul is quieted. And honestly, there are times when it does not happen quickly, but I just keep praying and keep rehearsing God's word, and eventually I drift back to sleep. Scripture memory has been a huge blessing in my life as I practically battle fear and anxiety. And then lastly, 6, Christian fellowship. I found great comfort and continue to find great comfort from the Lord as I share my burden with other believers, being very vulnerable in my areas of weakness and receiving prayer, biblical encouragement, and exhortation. Specifically, going on a walk with a sister in Christ, meeting for coffee or dinner, or having a friend over to the house has been a great encouragement for my soul. Also, listening to others and their battles with fear and anxiety causes me to take my focus off of myself and my circumstances and onto ways I can encourage and pray for other believers. It is a great reminder to me that I am not alone in this battle. I pray that the Lord would use my experiences with battling my own fear and anxiety to encourage you in your battle, and that we will persevere by God's grace and run this race well for his glory. Thank you.
Ladies, thank you so much for sharing, all of you. In fact, I want to encourage each of you to reach out to those that have spoken today. Feel free to do that. Go to them and talk to them. So it was Carolyn, Taylor, Amy, Victoria, Lauren, and Caitlin. So I'm encouraging you and exhorting you, go talk with them. It doesn't have to be today. It can be Sunday or in the weeks to come, but reach out to them and talk with them. I think that would be encouraging, not just to them, but to you. And very thankful for those of you that shared, even though it can be anxious producing, we can fight that even here. So thank you. So we're going to take a couple of minutes and walk into the fellowship hall. We're going to break up into some small groups. If you'll look on your name tag, you have a red number. And there are 5 different rooms in the fellowship hall that I'd like you guys to break up into. They're kind of listed on the, you know, where the room number is. And if you'll just go in there, we're going to do just a small group discussion before we break for lunch. So hopefully that will be encouraging and practical. And we will see you guys in just a little while.